for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 603 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week in episode 471, it's the return of Jared Prestwidge. The last time I spoke with Jared was when he had completed his very first comic, For the Love of the Game. Now he's releasing Howie the Hellhound, and this mini-series is coming from Scout Comics. Here's the description. Satan's favorite pet, a hellhound named Howie, escapes the pits of hell and settles down with a human owner, Louise, in New York City. But when hell's forces rise to take back what's theirs, the pair must find a way to come out on the other side and earn a fresh start at life that they both crave. I highly recommend this very human supernatural adventure, so be sure to let your local comic shop know you want it before the final cutoff date of Monday, September 4. A word of warning, I help out behind the scenes of Scout Comics, but this comic is not one that I participated in, so I'm sure you'll enjoy what Jared has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Jared Prestwidge, who previously I talked with who had done For Love of the Game and now has a book called Howie the Hellhound coming up from Scout Comics. And right away, I have to do my little thing. Whenever I talk about Scout Comics, I do help behind the scenes with that company. So just remember that when we talk about that. But Jared, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, Wayne. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk with you. Why don't we catch up? The last time I was talking with you, you had just done your very first comic work, and that was For Love of the Game. And I thought we might catch up before we get to Howie the Hellhound and see how things have been going with you with that. How did For Love of the Game do? Other things you've been doing? How about all that? Update us on all that, if you would.
Yeah, so I think For Love of the Game came out about 2 years ago now. Our chat was, I think it was January 2020. So a lot's happened since then. For the Love of the Game, had quite a pretty good response to it. It ended up getting published in the Twisting Time anthology, which was funded through Kickstarter. So that came out last year, and seeing my work in physical, actually holding it in my hands was a great thrill. So, and I've also done another short story since then called The North Woods, which was published in the Indie Comics Dispatches anthology, Tales from the Dispatch. So they've done a few volumes of that so far, and now we've got Howie the Hellhound, which is the first thing I've written, but it's come out way later. So this is a 5-issue series that should be coming out in October, so I'm really excited about that.
That's great. Now, of course, you're more experienced with the printing process and stuff like that. Talk about what the differences are for doing Howie the Hellhound versus For Love of the Game. I mean, was it easier because you'd gone through those things before? How did that work?
It was 100% way easier because we have people that do all the minor work for me, like making sure that the pages are the right size to be printed. And you know, I was given an editor, Nicole D'Andrea, to help me through the scripts and stuff like that. So it was quite the stress was off my shoulders. I just had to work with my team, really. So it was great working with Scout through this.
Okay, very good. So I'm just kind of curious as to were there things that you found a little different doing a 5-issue miniseries as opposed to like the single thing that you did before? What did you figure? What happened as a result of that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, like I said, I actually wrote this series for the most part before For the Love of the Game even I even thought it up. So it's actually the first thing I've written, but it's the newest thing I have out now. So it's as you can imagine, there's a lot more planning and a lot more character. You have to pay attention more to character arcs, I guess you could say, like, you know, put in little breadcrumbs in the early issues that come to fruition later. And also, for the love of the game, if you remember, it had no dialogue as well. And it was only 11 mm-hmm. pages. So in comparison to Howie the Hellhound, there's dialogue in every page, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the main difference there. And I just took a lot more care into it because, I mean, just peek behind the curtain, I was still writing the series here or there, just changing lines and stuff like that well after I got picked up by Scout Comics too. So it's a lot more of a labor of love, I guess you could say, where for the love of the game, it was such a simple story. It just pretty much came out whole and that was it, from a writing's perspective anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a little different doing a comic book that instead of just like a shorter story. So that's interesting. So that was really good. So I'm just curious as to, you know, your development as a professional doing these kinds of things, because now you've done all these things, you've gotten these things under your belt. Talk about, you know, your perspective on comics and stuff and how it's developed now that you've actually done like a 5-issue miniseries. What do you think about comics as a profession and as an industry?
Well, it's an interesting question because I never really went into doing the series trying to make it professionally, even though it felt like a full-time job at times. But yeah, I just have more of an understanding about the artist's point of view as well, because I had no idea about, you know, image sizing, even just the process of drawing and how much Photoshop skills you need and stuff like that. And so that helped a lot with just communicating to artists, not wasting their time and letting them know what I need and whether they have the programs to do it and the know-how to do it. So I'm in a bit of a flux period while waiting for Howie to come out, because you know, depending on the success of that, we can continue on, or maybe this would be my one and done kind of thing. So yeah, I haven't really had that too much of a peek into the industry. Being over in Australia, comics aren't as big as they are in the States, despite every movie in the theater being based on some sort of comic book. So I haven't been to any of those trade shows. Oz Comic Con is one over here as well. Any of those shows. So I'm excited to get into that, actually. So there's still a lot that I haven't really delved into yet, despite this thing coming out in less than 2 months.
So I'm curious, you wrote this before your other stuff. Did you have to make a lot of changes? I mean, did Nicole and you have to work on some of the stuff to make sure it worked well as a 5-issue miniseries? What changes had to happen?
So I came up with the story, I think, about 2018. So that's about 6 years ago now. I think I must have been reading Jason Aaron's Thor run. Because if you're familiar, Thor has this hellhound kind of sidekick named Thory. That's just kind of all about murder and stuff. So I thought that was kind of funny. So I wanted to do my own kind of version of that. So it originally started as pretty much the dog killing people for food and his human owner pretty much cleaning up after him. So kind of more of a black comedy kind of thing. So going from there to now, like, you've read the series, it's a lot different. But yeah, before I even got picked up by Scout, I hired another editor by the name of Gary Hall, and he was a really big help. I just found him on Reddit. I think he'd done some work with Dark Horse, so he did a lot of work with me on the series, and helped me, you know, fine tune the story and really get to the heart of it. So as I said, it's a lot different. Like, Howie the Hellhound, as it is right now, it's quite a heartfelt story where not many people have read it at this point, but the changes from 2018 to now, it's just, it's completely stark.
That's interesting, because that's good for people to know, because sometimes some people believe that when they've written something, it's gold, and you know, gold drips from their pen or off of their typewriter, and they don't make any changes. We want no changes made, because everything I've done is absolutely perfect. And I'm always like, you've got to meet the comics format, and that's a very unique format. So I always tell people, be a little more flexible than that, because I know there are certain people in the entertainment industry who think that way. But you've got to be kind of flexible, especially when you're changing into a format like a comic. It'd be different if you were making it a TV show or making it a movie. You'd have to do different things. But it was interesting that you went through that as a comic. So I hope that kind of helps people understand a little bit when you're making a comic, the process you have to go through. I think that was great that you got to go through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is a team effort at the end of the day, unless you're doing the whole thing yourself. I don't have the art skills for that. But I came through, I've worked as a journalist as well, where you have a lot of editors picking at your story. No, you can't say that. You can't say this. So I pretty much learned through that you can't really be precious with your writing. And I mean, if your editor or your artist points out something that, you know, is a little bit weird, the reader probably will as well. So, you know, not being precious with your writing, to a certain extent, you can still have ownership over it. With Nicole, I didn't really touch on my relationship with her, but her notes to pretty much to an extent is just a lot of technical stuff. Like, you know, you missed a word here, you missed a letter here, you know, change the spelling. You spelt it like an Australian. Take out the U because Americans don't like U's in their words, stuff like that. As far as a plot standpoint, Nicole didn't have too much input, but she was invaluable with her knowledge because she worked a long time at Action Lab as well. So it was great working with her. It was just a lot different. But also, when I was working with Nicole, a lot of the pages had already been drawn because you have to have a certain amount of pages drawn. So you can put them in a pitch. So it's, yeah, everyone that's come in from, you know, the guy that does the title, the colorist, the letterer, they've all taken a little piece, and they've all had their own little inputs. And it's just, it wouldn't be as good if I'd just done it myself and did it my way. I can tell you that. It'd be a lot different.
See, some people don't think like that. Some people think that it has to be their way or the highway. And I'm glad to hear that sometimes it's the things work better if you work with people. It actually gets to be a better story. So I'm glad to hear that. So that's good to see. Now let's talk a little bit. Well, first thing we got to do is make sure, what's the final order cutoff date for Howie the Hellhound number one?
September 4th.
And let me quickly call up my calendar. That's a Monday, so we got to make sure that people get there. Make sure you get your orders in by then, because there's some flexibility, but not a lot with that date. But you want to be sure to get that date, because you want to get it exactly right. And we want to make sure people get a chance to order the book. And once again, it's called Howie the Hellhound. And right away, the name got me, I have to say. It's got humor and horror mixed in the same thing, which I really like, which is really cool. Come out, but tell me how you came up with the name for the dog as well as the book.
Alliteration, simple as that. I just had to find a first name that had a H as well. How many H names can you think of? It was actually hard for me to find one. And I'm not sure whether you noticed, but I kind of worked that into the story as well, why she calls him that. But I'll leave that for the reader to find out. But yeah, it's sometimes the best answer is the simplest one. I was just wanted a name that started with a H, so it could, you know, sound a little bit snappier.
Because it also reminds me, I don't know if you ever read the book Nexus. Mike Baron wrote that, and here he's got this guy with galactic powers and all this stuff, and his name is actually Horatio Hellpop.
Not familiar.
It's that adds a little lightness to hear this dark and dire story. And so I was reminded of that when I saw Howie the Hellhound. So why don't you describe what the book is about so people know?
Yep. So the plot of the book is basically this hellhound named Howie escapes from hell up to Earth. and is adopted by just this average woman, late 20s, named Louise. So she adopts him. Everything is going great. Life is great. But, you know, what happens when hell comes back up, rises back up to Earth to take him back? So that's when it all hits the fan. So, yeah, that's the basic plot. But the story itself is actually, it's kind of more of a love story, I guess you could say. Just a love story between an owner and their dog. You know, we all have pets. But, you know, what are pets these days? You know, they just pretty much support. So our human character, Louise, we meet her at the start. She's not really a fully formed version of herself. She's very insecure. She's not going that great in life. She has a bad relationship. But what happens when something comes into her life that just gives her that support? How much does her life grow? It just, in this case, happens to be a murderous town from hell. But she's got her own demons to fight. So now she has to fight those demons by fighting real-life demons. So that's pretty much the gist of the story.
Mm-hmm. Which is a lot of fun. And over five issues, there's a lot of character growth. There's a lot of humor. Which right away, when we first meet Howie, let's just say he does something that makes some guys mad, which makes me laugh. Like when I saw that, I laughed out loud. It's a wonderful. He's a hellhound. So let's just say that things that he does don't necessarily do like a regular dog would do. And so it's a little more, a little stronger, shall we say. And I laughed out loud when I saw the first time we saw that. So I thought that was a great bit of writing.
Yeah, he takes on the skin of a regular dog, but you can still tell that something's not right. And as you go through the series, you can see pedestrians walking past just like giving a double take because this giant brown dog with red eyes just walking past them. But he's a very well-natured dog as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, most dogs are. I mean, you got the character of the dog, I think, was wonderful too. I just got a huge kick out of him. Now, talk about the dog's role in hell, if you would, because I think that's an important part of the story. And I think it'll help if people understand, you know, where he comes from. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, it's a little bit under wraps, I must say. You don't really get that much, like the whole story in these mm-hmm. first five issues, which was a purposeful thing because I don't mm-hmm. need, you know, I feel like that would have taken out too much of the main story. Okay. Which is the relationship between the dog and the human. Mm-hmm. But basically, he's just a member of Satan's personal kennel, I guess. So we don't really know the exact relationship between Satan and Howie, but it is a personal one. Which hopefully, if people buy this book, you'll be able to find out yourself. But mm-hmm. he's basically a murdering machine. Hellhounds have this reputation that they will kill you with their magic powers that you know as soon as look at you. But Howie mm-hmm. obviously is different, and why mm-hmm. he escapes, I don't know. I do know, but you don't know. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But basically, he's a very important crown jewel to the Hell's forces, so that's why they want him back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, his coming to Earth has not gone unnoticed, shall we say?
No,
there's things that happen as a result about that, which I think is funny. Let's talk a little bit about Louise because she is her growth as a character. I really enjoyed when we first see her. She's very insecure. She's actually trying out for an audition for a play. And that whole bit, I felt so sorry for her. Oh, my goodness. You know, the thing is, it starts out and there's this lady that's trying to, she has to audition for. And it made me like the character quite a lot, you know. And I do have to say the art really helped because her eyes are great big and wide. The way that she's drawn on page. And it does make you kind of feel for her that she's always kind of like surprised and, you know, she doesn't quite understand everything that's going on around her, which, you know, I sympathize with. And I thought that was really nicely done. I thought that was terrific.
Yeah. So Louise is, I kind of stealthily put her in there as the main character. I know the book's called Howie the Hellhound, but she was my main priority when it comes to character growth. And as you say, she is quite insecure in the beginning of the book. She's not a fully fledged version of herself. She's very insecure. She doesn't have a sense of self, but she has these grand plans for herself as well. So that kind of hints to her potential. But she's just one of those people that, despite, you know, doing the right thing, being a nice person, life just hasn't worked out for her yet. She doesn't have that many friends. Her relationship is with her partner, which we go through in the book, isn't that great. She's not where she wants to be. But like I said before, when someone comes in and does just be there for her for support, what can happen? She gets a bit more confidence, and then things start to go better. But then they start to get worse again as you read through the book. But yeah, Louise was a great character to write. In the beginning when I first came up with her, she was pretty much just a slapstick character. Back when I wanted her to just pretty much be the person to clean up after her dog in the first version of Harry the Hellhound. But I had a think, and I was like, people aren't going to really be on her side if she's just allowing her dog to murder these people so he could eat them. So that's where that started. But I have to give editor Gary Hall a really big rap, because I didn't even have the actress portion of her character even. That wasn't even a thing until he said, we need a bit more from Louise. You know, what is she actually for? What does she want? What is she after? And then that made me have a look at the script and go like, you're right. So that completely changed the plot of the story. So we have Howie coming into Louise's life, and then we also have this countdown to her first Broadway show, which happens in issue 3. So that gave her way more character and gives her something to strive for, you related to her. So I guess it worked. You know, it was good to hear that you're on board with her character, because I've been in this hole for about 3 years working on Howie and just reading it myself, and I'm so numb to the story now. I'm like, is this working? I don't know. We'll see.
This is how comics go, though. You know, you make the whole story together, and you give it to certain people who interact with you and stuff. But the public hasn't seen it yet, and so when this hits, and other people start to read, and you start to see reaction, say in social media and stuff like that, it's going to, I think, justify all the work and time you spent on this to develop the character, develop the dog. Both of their backgrounds and stuff, I think, are nice. One of the things about Louise that I really like are the surprises that we see with her. Like when she first looked into the dog's eyes, that surprised me. There's a wonderful little surprise there that I have to say. I was very shocked by the way she reacted. So I think right there, that was another bit of beautiful characterization that I thought was really terrifically well done. So, and I won't spoil what it is, but her reaction, but it's a beautifully written right at a page turn. So at the bottom of the page, I'm kind of like, I'm thinking, it's going to go a certain way. And let's just say I'm surprised. It was nicely done.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. Thanks for that. I am really interested to see the reaction to this, because with indie comics, you have to do a lot of the advertising yourself, and I don't have that much of a social media presence, so hopefully Scout get these books in the right hands at comic shops around, you know, the US and overseas too.
There are people at Scout who go to conventions every weekend, and there's one guy in particular, Andrea Molinari. He goes to conventions almost every weekend, and he often is there to explain the books to people. And I always think that's a great way to do it. When people actually experience the book firsthand, you got somebody that can answer questions about it. I think that's good. And Andrea is particularly good at that. So I think people will really get a kick. I don't want to spoil characters, but let's just say there are other characters that make me laugh. There's two that we meet at the end of the first book, and I loved what they say. They're looking for the dog, and all of a sudden they realize that the dog has been kind of found a new owner, and his response just killed me. I thought that was wonderful, because I don't, demons and stuff always tend to be harsh in my mind. These are much more fun, and it's a really well-done bit. All the characters in this book really sparkle. I mean, the lady who's doing the audition, she's funny. These two guys at the end, there's a lot of wonderful characterization going on, and just well done. I do have to say, I think that and more than that, I won't talk about, because there's a lot that happens over the five issues. The end, and I won't say what it is, the end surprised me. I was very surprised by how this all wrapped up. And I love to be surprised. I have read comics now for decades, and I have to tell you, I love to be surprised, and I was really surprised by how this went. So this, I think, could really make a really good, either an animated show or live action. I could see it, especially with CGI the way it is now. This could really work, I think, because the personalization, the characterization really sparkles. And I think that a lot of people would really enjoy this. I really do.
Yeah, it sounds good. Wouldn't mind it. Wouldn't mind to see it up on the screen. Because Howie's style, Carlos Trigo is the artist on this. If you're familiar with Cartoon Network shows from back in the late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. like Dexter's Lab, Samurai Jack, that kind of stuff. It was always my dream to have a Cartoon Network show, and this is pretty much what came of it. Obviously, this wouldn't get airplay on Cartoon Network because it's a little bit more adult. But
well, it could be an Adult Swim, though.
Yeah, true, yeah. Yeah.
Because I would like this, because this could really work. I could see a, particularly the Louise, and I think her relationship with Howie, I think, is great fun, and the stuff that happens around. I'd love to see her eyes be the same way when she's animated. That was the one thing I'd really want to see, because I love the way that Carlos did her eyes and stuff like that. Just wonderful. Very, very human and very, very expressive. So I have to give kudos. Now, did he put that in there, or was that something you wanted? How did her appearance come in there?
Well, her appearance was all Carlos. I pretty much just said make her a brunette. That was pretty much it. Make her a brunette in her late 20s. But the way that I scripted this, I was very all over the framing. When it mattered. So if there was something that a character said, I really wanted a reaction, and usually that's a close up. So a lot of that stuff, like where you see Louise's eyes, where it gets closer and closer and closer, like in the first issue when you first meet Louise, her first little section. Yeah, that was all me. Because I thought it was important, and I studied quite a bit of film back before I completed my journalism degree. And that was where I got that from. I'm a big fan of movies, probably more of a fan of movies than comics, I must say. So yeah, I pretty much wrote this script like I was watching it through a TV, through a TV screen. So yeah, I was very, particular when it comes to certain reactions, especially, but Carlos, if he felt the need to do something else, mostly with action, I would just let him go. I wouldn't really have any notes unless there was a continuity error or something like that. So when it comes to character stuff, I am quite particular on how I want it to look. But when it comes to action and stuff, I trusted Carlos to go for it.
She wasn't paid, based on any live person or anything like that, was she?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, because that's good. Now, what about the dog? I mean, designing the hellhound. Did you go to Carlos and say that you had an idea what you thought the hellhound should look like?
Yeah, I sent him a couple of photos. I can't remember off the top of my head what kind of dog it was supposed to be. Cane Corso or something? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not really – are you familiar with that breed? But it's quite a big dog. So I sent him a few photos of that. Yeah, and he just pretty much took it from there. I just wanted him to be big and have red eyes. So he's worked on quite a few online books, a lot of webtoons, a lot of books that have been funded through Kickstarter. So he was quite a bit more experienced than I was. So he was all over it. I have a lot of documents on my computer of sketches that he made, character designs and stuff like that. And usually the first thing that he would come up with, we went with.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it works really well. I there's a full page in thing was when they first actually meet. I really like that. She's holding ice cream in her hand. And the way that goes, I thought was really nicely done. Very. He actually, the dog, and I guess because how he is, he actually kind of looks happy with her, which I thought was a nice bit. You know, when it comes to animating or drawing animals, you got to be very careful how you do that, you know, because their expressions are sometimes hard to find and hard to show. But I think he did a beautiful job, particularly on Howie's expressions and stuff like that. Hers as well, but I do have to say, because I'm a big dog guy, I really, really liked the way that he did the expressions of when he's happy and when he's not. Let's say, I thought he did a beautiful job on that.
Yeah. Also, there's quite a few group conversations where he's just chilling in the background, and he always makes him do something in the background. So if you give it another read, you'll pick up on that. And like, there's a part in issue one where he comes across another dog that's about a tenth of the size of him, and he's like, "Ooh," quite wary of her. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he does quite a lot of that stuff through the five issues,
which is great. Did you write that in there, or was that Carlos?
Sometimes, some of them I did more in the earlier issues, but by the time I'd finished writing issues 4 and 5 and stuff, I usually just left that to him.
Very good. It's a fun story, full, like I said, surprises, and I love to be surprised. Like I said, the end really surprised me, and I do have to say to people, I think you're really going to enjoy that. This comic goes places I never expected it to go, and I love that. I tell you, I have been so many times completely, oh yeah, okay. This one, when I turned the page many times, I was very surprised, and I love a book that does that. I just think that this is, I think you did a great job of making the people and the dog believable and making things happen that kept our attention and kept us wanting to see more and wanting to learn more about the characters and what was going on.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm so glad that it hit a chord with you. So, yeah, like you said, you've read comics a long time. So, yeah.
Well, I'm a dog guy too. As I said, I think dogs have personalities and stuff like that as well. And so, I see his personality a lot, and that was really great about that. So smart and so. He's a real dog, you know. He's not only a hellhound, but he's also a real dog in the sense that he likes certain people. He doesn't like other people, which many dogs do. And if he likes you, he really likes you, which I liked. It was very, very dog-like, particularly the dogs that I know. And so I just think that Howie is he's going to sparkle. I think when people read this book, they're going to really like Howie a lot.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, it's good that it's quite good to hear that it's quite on point, because I've never really been a dog person, I must say. I hope that doesn't stop people from buying the book. I've always been more of a cat guy. Yeah, at my house at the moment, we just have the one cat. We're looking to adopt another one. So, yeah, I've come across dogs here or there, but I've never actually owned one before. So, I pretty much just wrote him as another character, which he is, of course. But, yeah. So, it's good that I felt like I also had a free pass because he's not actually a dog. He's a demon. But Yeah, but that's what makes him different, which we hopefully if I get to do another season of Howie, if this the people buy this book, I'll delve more into that.
So, see, you've talked about that before in a couple minutes ago, and I was curious about that because this book could end with the fifth issue, which I read. That's an interesting end, but like I said, you have set things up so that there are many more interesting things, I think, that could come. How many stories with Howard do you think that you have that you'd like to tell?
I think I would like to tell another five issues, but I did purposefully leave off issue five as it could be an ending. It could be a solid ending because you don't need to have all the answers right away. All your answers aren't answered at the end of issue five, but Louise's story arc does hit a crescendo there. So I would be more than happy than just cutting it off at issue five. But I do have ideas, a location change for the next season. So I know Carlos is really keen to do it, but it just depends on the response here. But I think I've got another five or six issues in me.
Oh, I hope so. I'd like to see it because this one, I would love to see what twists and turns you have in store for these characters because I really was, as I keep saying, I was very surprised by the way things went and moved. But that makes it all the more real to me. Sometimes comics come across, I feel like I'm in a comic universe. This was much more, I was in a real world because the people, just like real people, surprised me. Like, did they do in this too? I enjoyed it so much. I'd love to see what else you've got coming. So I hope people go out and buy it, Howie the Hellhound, and be sure to get it because it's just a wonderful, wonderful. It's funny to say, but it's a very human story, the way that it's told. So I like that so much.
Yeah, that was the goal. It is a human story at the end of the day. Yeah, use the cute dog on the front cover, but actually try and surprise you with a human story.
Yeah, which is great. I love that kind of stuff. It's just such a well done book. I really have to say, it interests me that this was your first thing, and I do think that maybe the folks kind of did add a little bit to it. I mean, most people's first stories don't sparkle all that much. And, you know, you're learning, you're figuring out what to do and how to communicate what you want. But I think that the folks kind of helped you really make this story a tremendously fun story to read. So I highly encourage people, be sure to get out and buy Howie the Hellhound, because I think you're going to just, if you're a dog person like me particularly, I think you're going to really like it a lot.
Yeah, and there's three covers for issue one as well. There's two that you can order through through your comic book store or online at Scout. And there's also a third cover, which I got done by Mikey Heller, who worked on a Cartoon Network show, We Bear Bears. So he did a kind of funny, you know Scotty Young for Marvel, mm-hmm. like he does those covers with the speech bubbles as well, like right. his actual dialogue. I did one mm-hmm. like that with him. So that's an online exclusive one. And there's only 150 copies. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's three covers, and then for the issues after that, it's just one.
Is that a Whatnot Select cover? Is that what that other cover is?
No, it's not Whatnot. I think there's going to be some different variants coming there. But okay. No, this one's just the online exclusive. So all Scout comic books have an online exclusive for issue one. But okay, I really got a kick out of that one. So it's got a nice little joke on there.
Oh, good. I'll have to make sure I get to see it because I do think that this is going to be one of those books that really works well. Sometimes comics get picked up and get optioned, and I hope this gets optioned at the very least because I just think this could be a very fun, very enjoyable, and I keep using that word, but very human tale that I would really experience and really like to see happen on there. So. It's good. How does it feel having the whole thing done? And now that you shared with me all five issues, what's it like to, because this was your first one, what's it like to see it all done and completed like this now?
I don't know. It's a weird feeling because I've been, I felt like I hit all the highs early when I got picked mm-hmm. up by Scout mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. To take you back to, I think I'd around the time of our last meaning, our podcast 2 years ago, I got an offer from Sourcepoint Press for Howie, but they only wanted to do one issue and then see how it goes. But Scout also showed their interest and wanted to do all five. And plus, they have a lot of great ideas, like that Scout Comics box that they send out with all the random comics. So you can, like, subscribe to this to get this box of six comics or whatever. So hopefully some Howies get thrown in there. But, yeah, hitting that high of actually getting picked up, that was huge. That was probably the biggest moment. But now, 3 years later, where, man, I've just gone through so much stuff with this book. We've had members of our creative team have to drop out, and then they had to come, then they came back in. That's actually one thing that I'm quite proud of with Howie, is that we have the same creative team, colorist, letterer, artist through the whole thing. That almost didn't happen. So we had some people drop out because of personal issues, and that pushed back the book. So, I mean, this was meant to be done last July. Now here we are 1 year later, and it's not even out yet. So it is a weird feeling. I feel a little bit disconnected from the story because I've read it so many times. And I think my family and friends are sick of me talking about it too. But yeah, it's a strange feeling. I think once I get my comps, that'll be a great moment for me. So I only have one copy of For the Love of the Game up on my bookshelf there. But yeah, once I get the comps, and hopefully if you know get some feedback on social media, that'd perk me up again. But at the moment, it is kind of like it's not really happening, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's been so long coming. You know, it's such a weird, when it finally hits, you're still a little numb. But I think when people start to read it and you start to see people's reactions, I think you'll feel a little more, you feel a little more in tune with what's happening with it. And it's going to be a little more revival of the way that you feel about the book, because it really works for me, and I think it's going to work for a lot of other people too. So,
yeah, everyone I've shown it to have been quite positive. I sent it off to some comics pros to get some quotes. Like Liam Sharp was one of them. If you're not familiar, he did Wonder Woman, and he did Green Lantern with Grant Morrison like 2 years ago or something, and he was very complimentary. And I was like, "Whoa, this guy's a legend!" Like, and he liked the book, so. I'll be posting that reaction on social media soon. Say with Matt Groom as well. He's a fellow Aussie creator. He works with Marvel on Ultraman and an Image with Inferno Girl Red as well. So he's quite prominent now. So it's been good. I've had reactions from a lot of different people, yourself and some other people that write reviews about comics. So hopefully I get some more coming out soon. Yeah, so it's been a positive experience for sure. But I am just waiting for it to come out. I've just been waiting for so long.
It's coming. It's going to happen. It's going to be. I think you'll be pleased when people start to react to it, because I think it's superbly done.
Thank you so much.
So, are there other projects you're working on right now, or is this kind of keeping you busy?
No, it hasn't really been keeping me busy. I've just been in a bit of a flux where, you know, waiting for Howie to come out to see whether it's actually worth continuing. but I've got plenty of ideas. I've got one story that's a very, very realistic journalism kind of mystery tale that I want to do, which is not so much based on my experience being a journalist in a small town, but just pretty much adapting the uncertainty that I felt while I was there. So that'd be a good one to write, but it's a lot different. It's a lot more serious. And I've got quite a few other ideas that go to the more Howie style, like the more comedic comedy drama thing. So I've got a lot of ideas, but I've been a bit slack. Been a bit slack while waiting for Howie to come out. Written a lot of treatments, but not much in the way of scripts, because it's such an ordeal working on this. So you can either front up the money yourself, which I don't want to go into how much money I paid for this, or you can go grey doing a Kickstarter, which is quite hard, I think, over in Australia, because most of your customers would be in America, so you have to deal with all that. So it is quite a barrier to entry this comics, indie comics business. Because publishers, they don't really pay you. They don't pay you a page rate or anything like that. Well, at least, you know, the ones like Image and Scout and stuff. So there is quite a barrier to entry. And, you know, you need money to eat for rent and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So you might see a Kickstarter out of me soon, but it's from what I've heard, it's such an ordeal to do.
Well, especially over there. I mean, it's going to be, although you can hire companies to do the fulfillment, say in America. If most of them are in the U.S., you could hire a company. There are companies in the U.S. that do that kind of thing. But I just think people are going to really like this. I really do because, you know, I was very warmed. there's one part where Howie meets the roommate that made me laugh. And it actually makes Louise laugh. That was one part of the thing I really like about that. That whole interaction to me was great fun. And I think a perfect example of how I think this is going to resonate with people and be really, really well received. I think so. It'll be good. Have you started thinking about conventions or stuff yet? I guess it's still a little too soon since you haven't gotten the comp copies or anything like that yet. Are you thinking about conventions or starting to look ahead to those?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I'm just waiting for some comps to come in. I think I might have to get a couple of issues worth. And also, I've been thinking about maybe making a physical version of For the Love of the Game and The Northwood. So my two short stories, maybe staple them together with one. So Brisbane, where I live, Brisbane, Queensland in Australia, they have a few conventions that you can go to, but I can always travel down to the other states because my colorist, Simon Robbins, who did a great job on this book, he lives in Melbourne, which is a couple of states south. So maybe I could hook up with him and do something with him. Yeah. So the coloring on the book was great. I didn't really touch on it. Hopefully he doesn't get too mad, but he did a really good job on that.
Mm-hmm. It's the whole book works to me. See, when all the pieces work, sometimes you can't pick out the different parts because it all works together as a whole. And that's the way I feel about that. I think the whole thing just, it works terrifically well together. And I think I really do think, because I'm a dog guy, I got to admit, we have two rescue dogs in our house and they're looking for my attention already. I can hear them, but, I just think that this is how he is himself as a character. I would love to meet Howie in real life. Because he's a funny dog. But what about social media? If people wanted to follow you on social media and keep up with what you're doing, how do they do that?
Yeah, so it's just at J Prestwidge. So JPRESTWIDGE. I'm just on Instagram and Twitter, aka X. So yeah, follow me on there. I've just been doing a lot of Howie stuff lately, showing off the covers and stuff like that. So feel free to come join me. And I'm going to be showing off some more interiors soon, but not too much. I want to leave it a surprise.
Yeah. Well, I think that this is Howie the Hellhound, and I think it's going to be something that people are really going to enjoy. So, Jared, I think you're doing a great job. I'm looking forward to more coming from you, and we'll have to talk again the next time when something else is coming down the pike, and we'll see how it goes. And I'll see if I can't put a bug in people's ear at Scout about doing a second season of this, because I would like to see that. I really would like to see more with this story because it's really terrific. So just keep doing the wonderful stuff you're doing, Jared, and hopefully I get to talk with you again in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne, as a man. I'm flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.